Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So, you ever look at a new drug and wonder why it takes forever to get approved? Well, you're looking at what the industry calls Eroom's Law. It's Moore's Law, but completely backwards.
Exactly. R&D efficiency is literally halving every 2 years. It's pretty wild.
And the numbers we've pulled together, they are just sobering. We're talking about $2.6 billion for a single successful drug.
And that's before you even mention the failure rate.
A 90% attrition rate in phase one trials. I mean, it's a systemic crisis.
It is. It's a crisis of complexity. And that's what we're really digging into today, right?
Yeah.
This inflection point we're seeing in 2024, 2025.
Where AI starts being just a promise.
And becomes a clinical reality. We're seeing it driven by these two huge concepts: generative biology, so designing molecules from the ground up,
Right.
and new cognitive architectures, which, is just a fancy way of saying AI models that think about biology in a totally new way.
Okay, let's unpack that. I think the best place to start is with the biggest technical solve of the year. It has to be AlphaFold 3.
Oh, absolutely. AF3 is a huge shift. The crucial change isn't just that it's, better at modeling proteins.
It's how it does it.
Exactly. It uses a diffusion network, which is a generative process. Think of it like an artist painting a whole biological scene from just random noise.
So it's not just looking at one piece anymore.
No, it models the holistic interaction, how proteins, DNA, RNA, and the small molecule drugs all fit together at the same time. The old protein-only view is frankly obsolete now.
And this gives us that aha moment. We saw it with the TIM-3 case study, right?
We did. It was a perfect example. Static methods, in the lab, they just saw an undruggable target, a solid wall.
But the AI predicted this cryptic cleft.
Like a hidden keyhole, one that only opens up when the specific drug is actually binding to it. The AI can see this dynamic change that was just invisible to us before.
Which leads us directly to the first real clinical proof. Let's talk about in silico medicine.
And their drug, rentosertib. It was designed from start to finish by AI for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, IPF.
And this is key AI found the novel target, TNIK, and then designed the actual molecule. It's the full stack validation.
Precisely. And the phase 2A results were just powerful. Get this. Patients on rentosertib saw their lung capacity improve by over 98 milliliters.
While the placebo group,
The placebo group declined by more than 62 milliliters. Those numbers, that's the proof. The AI stack works in actual human patients.
But to keep this balanced, we have to talk about the friction of reality. The counterpoint here is Recursion Pharmaceuticals.
Yes. The necessary reality check. Their candidate, REC-994, looked so promising for CCM.
It was reducing brain lesions in early studies.
It was, but then in the long-term study, the efficacy signal just it evaporated, it vanished.
And that highlights the translation gap, doesn't it?
It does. The gap between a cell in a dish and the sheer complexity of a human body is still a huge, huge adversary, even for our best models.
But even with that complexity, AI in diagnostics is already a different story.
Right.
The impact of the digital clinician is happening right now.
We're seeing these incredible Lazarus diagnostics.
Like that story of the young woman. Chronic cough, stomach pain. Doctors were baffled for years.
And then ChatGPT connects the dots, links the symptoms to Hashimoto's disease and ultimately to thyroid cancer. That kind of speed is game-changing.
It is, but it also raises really important questions. Algorithmic bias is a huge one.
A major concern. Because if an AI is trained on flawed historical data, it's just going to amplify those flaws at scale.
The sources gave a really clear example with the EGFR kidney function
It's a
system.
race correction,
It was based on these flawed biological assumptions that meant Black patients were often assessed as having healthier kidneys than they actually did.
And when an AI absorbs that logic, it implicitly pushes them down the list for treatment for transplants. It's a stark reminder, garbage in, injustice out.
So when we step back, what does this all mean? The core takeaway for me is this massive transition.
From a science of observation.
Right. What we can see under a microscope to a science of computational generation. What we can actually engineer with code.
We've accepted this Promethean bargain, haven't we? We've taken the fire of computational intelligence to tackle biology.
And now the real work begins.
The goal now is to govern that power wisely. To make sure the medicine it creates is not just more powerful, but more fair for everyone.
So for our final thought, the ambition now is the self-driving lab, right? Integrating all this data, DNA, proteins, everything into a digital twin of a person.
A perfect simulation.
So if we get there, if we can simulate a drug on your digital twin before we ever prescribe it to you, what are the new limits? And maybe more importantly, what are the new liabilities of truly personalized medicine? Something to think about.